You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
702 and Cape Talk.
Talking sex.
We are talking sex, and it's going to be a very important, very difficult, very necessary conversation. And I hope that you're going to listen, and also call in, share your thoughts, your anxieties. It is, as it always is, a very safe space. It's one of the parts of the week I love, where we do work, and sometimes it's emotionally difficult, but it's always informative. Every now and then it's lighthearted. Today's topic is not lighthearted, but we have a consummate professional in Dr. Eve. Dr. Eve, it's wonderful to see you.
It's wonderful to be here. I'm so pleased that you're here. I said to Mahal, is he going to be in the studio with me? Because we're not going to do this show. I'm not doing this unless you are here.
Yeah.
Holding the space as you do with the listeners. This is a difficult conversation for me, for everyone who's listening to us. And we are going to do it. You know, Reedy and I spoke about doing this topic a long time ago, and I probably didn't feel ready for it. I don't know. It was just like contentious. So we're doing it today. What we're talking about is paedophilia. And I've called it Paedophilia 101 because that's all I want to see this today. Basic 101 information, giving, sharing, and venting. Let people vent till they get to the end of the show, and hopefully they will get understanding primarily of what paedophilia is and the difference between paedophilia, a paedophilic disorder, and mostly molester. So we're going to start out with some definitions. And as I start, I do want to really name, cite, and reference my colleague, Dr. James Cantor, whose work I have followed for years. James is the global leading authority on paedophilia, the person who is doing research in Toronto, Canada. He's kind of going to be listening to us. So hello, James, to you, and thank you for giving me the knowledge and the confidence to be able to talk about a very difficult topic, but something which is so essential for us to talk about. So let's get into the terminology of it. What is paedophilia? Paedophilia is somebody, and oftentimes it's a man, who has an erotic attraction. That starts when he becomes aware of it when he's about 13, as he gets into puberty, and it stays stable through his life. And who he's attracted to are children who are under the age of 13. And these could be children who are either boy children or girl children, same sex or opposite sex, but they definitely are children that he has a specific interest in. They also are, for many paedophiles, a certain age, and they stay stuck in that age. They're only attracted to two-year-olds or three-year-olds or four-year-olds. Mm. And the big differential between a paedophile and somebody who has a paedophilic disorder is that the paedophile is very intent on not acting out sexually. They have an awareness that they have what's called a sexual orientation. They love, they lust, they are sexually attracted to young children. And they know that this is a problem, and they try very hard not to act on it. Paedophilic disorder is when you are unable to control those urges, where you cannot stop yourself from acting out on those urges, and it causes enormous distress to you, obviously to the community, and to your own personal life as well. Mm-hmm. So that's the difference between the two. This crossover, I mean, it's not so clear. I'm making it clear. Then we have, and this is my big thing that I want us to know today, child molesters. These are people, men and women, who live in households, who live next door, who is your neighbor, your uncle, we talk about it all day in this country, who is molesting children opportunistically. They are not attracted to children. They are opportunistically using these children who they notice are vulnerable. So it could be stepchild, it could be half-sibling, it could be your brother, your sister. They are there, you are sexual, and it is a matter of control, it is a matter of violence, and that's what a child molester is, and that's the difference. There is no attraction to children. There was one of the films, the documentary film festival now, was something called Dragon's Lair. And what I was most aware of as I sat through this docu were the emotions of the audience. Mm. It was a story of a woman, it was John, it was actually shot in the studio. It was shot in the studio with John interviewing the person who made the film, and it was about her life and her incestuous relationship with her stepfather. Mm. And went on for years, from about age 2 to about 12 years old. And the audience, you could feel the vibration of the audience, of feeling the anxiety, the pain, because if we look at the numbers, you know, 1 in 3 women have been abused, 1 in 5 men have been abused somewhere along the line. And the reaction to her in the Q&A time, the incredible discomfort. Now, this man was a pedophile because he's continuing to molest young children. And he told her he loves young children. This is different from the person who is molesting in everyday life in your home. Please call us if you're feeling, you know, you're not understanding the difference, because people get very angry about this. And obviously, this is a contentious issue because we don't want our children to be hurt.
Sure.
And I'm saying, this is, I am not supporting, because I know people are going to come back at me at this. I'm not supporting that children should be abused. Indeed, okay. I am saying, I have deep compassion for pedophiles.
Okay, give us a call, 011-883-0702 in Johannesburg, in Cape Town, on 021-446-0567. Share with us your thoughts, what comes up for you, what emotions, the story, your experiences. Are you attracted yourself to young children? How do you deal with those feelings? In terms of the terminology that Dr. Eve has so carefully delineated, which do you think applies to you? How do you wrestle with these attractions? Do you think that for you, if you are a pedophile, that it is a sexual orientation as she has defined it, or do you think you actually have the disorder? And if you have questions, curiosities, we will do our best to give you as much information as possible. Before we talk a little bit about the behavior, I want to see whether I can, obviously I've had the benefit of reading the blog a couple of times, so the terminology, I've got a little bit of a handle on it, but when you hear it the first time, it may take some time for people to be able to get the terminology right. So if someone has a pedophilic sexual orientation, that doesn't tell us anything about their behavior. It just tells us something about their,
brain.
At most, their brain.
Yes, I'm saying that deliberately. It tells us about the brain, because this is the seminal work that James Cantor has done. He takes pedophiles, and can you imagine how difficult it is to get a pedophile into a research program, never mind into a clinical therapy room. And he gets pedophiles and he does MRI scans of their brains, and he has come up with some really interesting findings. He's found that
I found some of them fascinating. I was also scared what listeners will make of those ones, but I know you're going to frame it properly, because they're going to take those as, oh gosh, I'm going to make sure that my kid stays away from Eusebius, he's left-handed.
you were going to go there. This is so funny. So we have to have combinations, not just one thing like left-handedness. He says that they have IQs that are 10 points lower than the average person, plus lower memory scores. Also, large portion of pedophiles are left-handed or ambidextrous, more than the general population. So he says this is a brain phenomenon, and this is what people have been waiting to hear. You know, where does it come from? Why is it like this? Is it just a child molester that we're dressing up and trying to escape and say, you're just a pedophile, you know, we're just getting away from this all? No. James's work is showing us that this is a brain phenomenon, although not yet has he been able to identify exactly what area of the brain or what how come it does affect the brain in that
way. Does he understand the causal correlation, if there is one? Because I was very shocked by those characteristics that are prevalent in the pedophiles whose physiology he looked at.
Yeah.
Because I asked myself, I wonder whether these are weak or strong correlations, or whether he also at least has an hypothesis of why there would be a link, or don't we understand it?
I think he's got strong correlations. He would never put himself out. James, phone me, wake up. he would never, ever put himself out on the line if it wasn't strong. Interestingly enough, in schizophrenia, there's also a left-handedness that pops up here and other mental diseases. So that's how little we know, I guess, Eusebius, about this. What we do know, and this is the important thing, is the difference between that and child molesting.
Okay, shall we take our first call? Francesco in Randburg, good morning to you, and thank you so much for calling in.
Hello?
Hi there, we can hear you, go ahead. Yeah, the line's not too clear, but just speak and we'll try and catch as much as what you are saying.
Doc, you define pedophilia as the person who has an attraction but doesn't wish to act on it. And you define a molester as someone who acts upon an urge but isn't physically attracted to a child. I'm trying to understand then, if that's the case, what is the motivation of the child molester if it's not because of a physical attraction?
Very good question.
It's an excellent question. Thank you so much for that.
And
I'm not saying, and I did say earlier, I want to just say that there are paedophiles who unfortunately do act out a huge amount, and there are reasons why they would. They're sexual and they land up in jail, unfortunately. So somebody who is a child molester is not sexually attracted. He's probably going to be married to the mother of a child, or he could be married to his own wife and have his own children. Well, that's actually a paedophile, be married to his own children. He could be married and sexually attracted to same sex or to opposite sex who are of an age with him. But because of his own characteristics, and there are so many of them that I'm not going to be able, we can't say exactly these are the definite psychological characteristics of a child molester, because we're going to be limiting it. He uses the opportunity that's in front of him. He sees a vulnerable child, and because of his own, maybe his own past trauma, that he's able to effect and allow himself to unfilter and to be sexual with the child, even though he knows it's a completely illegal thing to do, but will find a justification for being able to do that. So his primary attraction is not towards children. He will be sexually aroused, and it's kind of a repulsive thought to be thinking of, right? To think that adults are sexually attracted by small little children. I'm just thinking about the rapes. We've had so many in the last week of young children, of babies. That's rape, and that's about violence completely. But
not even about sex.
Not in any way. But here we have a process where there's a grooming, a child molester. Mm. Pedophiles groom as well, obviously they do. There's a grooming, there's an intent behind it, where they will be grooming this child and then sexualize this child to the point where they're able to justify their own behavior.
Is it consistent with that, as an additional feature, not so much a clarification, that the person who has a pedophilic sexual attraction, they are exclusively attracted to children, whereas a child molester may, and I use this word advisedly, incidentally molest a child, but could well have sexual relations, romantic relations with an adult, and for that matter, can also sexually prey on adults.
That's what I'm saying. Absolutely 100%. Mm. You got it. Pedophile is somebody who has got no attraction to same age people at all, and that's why I have the compassion.
But then within that pedophilic bracket, the big distinction, which is the one I think many people don't want to even think about, because there's so much ethical and emotional discomfort that is perfectly legit around it, is the difference between one who has a disorder, and we're going to get to those traits more closely in a second, and one for whom it is a sexual attraction, but it's not a psychologically irresistible attraction in terms of acting on it.
Well, they work real hard. There's a recognition that if I act on this, I'm harming myself and I'm harming the child. There's a recognition of that.
Okay. Good morning, Cosmos. Thank you so much for coming in. Okay, we've lost Cosmos there. Karen, good morning.
Hi, Eusebius. I just want to thank Dr. Eve and Dr. Cantor for making this sort of topic open to everybody, because I've had experience of people being labeled when they have a pre-existing condition as paedophiles, when basically their behavior was not their fault. And it causes a problem. I'm talking specifically about a disorder called Huntington's disease, which does cause behavioral problems, which are not easy to control, but the person, actually, it's not their fault. But of course, in society, we label people and then we basically bin them. And I'm grateful for the difference and the differentiation between paedophilia and the paedophiles and molesters. And I think we have to keep talking about it so that we don't label young people.
Yeah, Karen, I think, thank you for understanding. I just want to also not minimize for 1 minute the difference between something like Huntington's disease and paedophilia. Paedophilia hurts children, and that's why we feel so concerned about it, and that's why we're having this conversation. There are other diseases which get people to behave in hypersexualized ways, but it's not normally with children then. It wouldn't be with children. Here we're talking specifically around children, which is why it's such an emotive topic, because we don't want to think about our children being sexually abused by either a pedophile or by a child molester.
100%.
702 and Cape Talk.
Talking Sex.
25 minutes before noon, it is Adult Radio. We are talking about the very difficult and complex topic of paedophilia. And so far, Dr. Eve, as always, has been phenomenal in just carefully distinguishing between child molesters and paedophiles. And then within the term paedophilia itself, an important distinction between paedophilia as a sexual orientation, where it may be hard for a paedophile to resist being attracted to children, but many do succeed, and then paedophilia as an actual disorder. I want to start off, and of course you can call in and share your experiences. If you are attracted to children, how do you manage? Is it a disorder for you? Is it just a sexual orientation? And if you are just a listener, if you're a mom, if you work with children, what are your biggest fears? Mm. What emotions come up for you even listening to this conversation on radio? If you are still with me, maybe you changed a station by now. I hope not, because that's exactly the beauty of having Dr. Eve as my colleague here every week. Dr. Eve, I want to get to some of the obvious questions that people have. Before we get to the disorder, let's stay with the sexual orientation.
Mm.
And I don't want to dwell on this too much, because obviously, you know, I love ethical conversations. But the behavioral ones is maybe more important today. Some people will say it is gross. And they mean by that two things. They just mean gross aesthetically, but they also mean it's morally gross to be attracted to children.
Mm-hmm.
So for some people, they might think either that you, we, or your colleague is letting off the hook people who have paedophilic sexual orientations to say the fact that they don't act on it is neither here nor there. They are still disgusting. They are gross. You sound as if you want me to give them a pat on the back because they're resisting their urges. If they are busy masturbating in their rooms
To child porn. Which they are.
Or even if no child was harmed in the making of porn and it's whatever cartoons, if they're just even fantasizing about my child, I think they're a disgusting human being. Mm. How do you respond to someone who might have that kind of view?
I'm going to respond with empathy and say I accept that you feel that way, because that is our natural protective mechanism, and we're going to go there. We don't want to think about children as being sexual. We don't want to think about our children being harmed. We don't want to think about adults perving over children and child porn or touching children. We see children as pure and as innocent, and they are, and they should be kept that way. However, as a clinician, I'm going to say let's step back and let's consider the consequence of not honoring or being compassionate or understanding what it is to be a paedophile. So would we rather have them out and about, uncared for, unsupported, without education, without containment, and being allowed to act on their, not only impulses, on their sexuality? Because it's like saying to a hetero, a homosexual person or a bisexual person, you know, you can't be sexual. And you like made a comment, I think, a week or so ago when we spoke about teen sex. Like, the church is fine, you know, we can accept you as being gay, but just don't have sex. So here we have... I can't even say it's a comparison, but here we have a situation where we're saying it's okay for you to be a paedophile, but you can't be sexual. We have to contain sexual urges in some way. Mm. So as a clinician, I'm going to say, come into my therapy room. Let me help contain you. Let me help you manage your terrible, terrible situation.
There's at least one person who says, it's not fine, Dr. Eve. It's not fine, Malene. What we need is not just for that person to not be around schools trying to snatch my child. I want them to be at home, and if they really, really, really have to be wanking at home, why can't they think of Mariah Carey? I don't even want them to think about my child.
Yeah, it would be what we all would feel and would long for, but that's not the reality. So 1% to 3% of the population are paedophiles, and locking them up in jail is not the solution. It just leads to further criminalized behavior. We don't want to be having that. So as therapists, we want them to come into our therapy room. We want to be able to offer them management. There is a site.
If someone never acts and they have that ability to step back from their desire and not act on it or restrict it to the level of fantasy, when they come into your space as a therapist, how do you respond to that?
Oh, you see, this is a really interesting thing. How much time do I have to tell you a quick story?
Can tell it. Yeah, we've got plenty of calls.
Oh, okay.
I think let's get
a
bit of cheese. I want you to where I'm going with it, to be absolutely blunt, is
go ahead.
Even though you are a therapist, you are presumably confronted with a ethical question in part, which is If Mario comes to you and says, yes, man, yo, the way I've been raised in my family, I feel guilty that I have fantasies about children. I've never touched a child.
Mm.
I swear to God, I've never touched a child, and I will never do that.
Mm.
Will you say to Mario, Mario, it's okay. Continue masturbating and thinking about children, and just release yourself from the judgment of society.
Mm-hmm.
Or will you say to Mario, Mario, funny you should say that. My colleague has given me some wonderful material with which we can try and work at your fantasies to make you stop having the fantasies. That's what I'm asking.
Oh, no,
that's what I'm asking.
Great, no conversion therapy. No conversion therapy. I'm not going to take... Sorry, Mario.
Not you, Mario.
I'm not going to take Mario and convert him. I am going to work with what is and do a lot of containing and a lot of education and give them resources and anything that's necessary to be able to recognize that this is his, her normal, and how do we protect society, protect children, and protect him or her from this situation. So that is what my response is going to be.
Okay. Sishle and Martin, I'm going to come to you in a second, but I just want to ask you a characteristic.
Go ahead.
I wanted to ask you a characteristic now of the disorder.
Yes.
So now we leave the people who are resisting their urges aside just for one second.
Right.
In your description on your blog
of
the how psychologically or otherwise irresistible people who have a pedophilic disorder find their attraction towards children, I wanted to know whether you meant that literally.
Yeah. It's very difficult because you have urges. If you think about any, this is under the DSM-5, right? So this is talking about a mental illness. These are people who, over a period of 6 months, are unable to contain their recurrent intense sexual feelings, attractions, fantasies towards children, and actually behave on it. They can't contain and control their urges around it to children who are under 13 years or younger, and this causes enormous distress, which is one of the criteria for the DSM-5 boys, distress to them personally, and also creates enormous interpersonal difficulty for them as well. And so obviously these are people who need to be managed in a very severe clinical way. And I have to tell you, Sibis, we don't really have good treatment interventions as yet. James is working on that. People who are doing research are working on this, that we want to have containment and we want to know how do we treat them. We do know that putting them into jail is not the way to treat people at all. It doesn't serve any purpose. It just creates, as I said, more criminality. I just want to go back, and because a very important factor is that people understand that there is law involved. So I'll tell you the quick case that I had was that somebody called me from this country and said, we have a situation in Canada where, it was in America somewhere, in one of the states of America, where there was family incest going on, that the mother was, there was incest that was going on in the family.
Mm.
And they'd come to me hoping that I could intervene, and I realized that it was because they were trying to avoid the law. There were very, very strict laws in America. And I'm sad to say that we have some laws in this country, but not really good guidelines for us clinicians, which I found out really quickly, that if I were to intervene, I would have to report. And they thought they could get away with me not reporting that there was this pedophilia going on in another state in America. So we are bound as clinicians by law.
Okay. Mike, hello.
Hi, Mike. Mischievous.
Welcome to the show, Mike. Thank you so much for calling us.
I've spoken to you before. I find this very macabre, by the way. And it's sacred ground, or I don't know what it is, but I believe that pedophiles should be transported to Robben Island, and that's it. It's impossible for them to live in a community. You can ask your psychoanalyst there on the sideline. It just can't work. I can't believe what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I hear your distress, Mike, and I don't blame you for feeling...
And I know you're very calm about it, but I promise you I'm quite irate about this.
That's okay.
Or irate,
okay.
However you want to pronounce it. It's a map, and I know we don't confront these things every day. Maybe that's also a problem.
But I agree.
That should be removed from society, full stop.
Well, I disagree around that, because, you know, how are we going to do that? We're going to kind of knock on doors and say, what kind of porn are you watching and who are you interested in? You know, back in the day, we used to do witch hunts of homosexual people as well. In fact, of women.
You're trying to romanticize the whole thing now.
I'm not romanticizing. I'm saying this is what it is, and this is a difficult conversation, and I so appreciate you calling in. And I have to say, Mike, you know, I listen to your voice. That's what my voice used to sound like a few years ago. It used to be very difficult for me. I was just as irate as you, but now I'm a clinician, and I was a clinician then. I understand it a bit better, and people have rights, and rather protect than to criminalize.
Do they have rights?
Totally, totally. We're there to protect
children. I really have, by the way. Yeah. And that's the thing that really irritates me.
Does it feel scary for you, huh?
It's not scary. I mean, I come from old school. I'm 60 years old. You know, if I really want to get rude, I will shoot those people. If I had a child that was molested by somebody, I would shoot them, okay? If my son harsh, that is exactly what I would do.
Yeah, I would probably want to do the same to somebody who hurt my child.
Mike, can
thank you very much.
Hold on, Mike. Hold on. Go, man. You and I have a good relationship. I just wanted to ask you, Mike. on a serious note, Mike, because I appreciate your calling. And hold on, I want to be serious for one sec.
I'm always serious, by the way.
Yeah, but this is a crucial conversation. Are you, in terms of how you feel, Mike, child molesters must be locked up if they harm children. The rights of children
are removed from society.
Okay, Mike, we created a space for everyone to feel.
Semantics, but anyway, I say removed from society because there's no space for them here.
Okay, Mike, you're forcing me to do something I'm not going to, don't like doing, which is, although the conversation is difficult, I'm going to have to ask you to respect my right to engage you by speaking to you. If you're not going to do that, then I'm afraid we can't have a dialogue. Okay? So what I wanted to ask you, Mike, was, even with the distress that you have, which I think is fully justified, when Dr. Eve made those distinctions between pedophilia as sexual orientation, pedophiles who have a disorder, and then sexual molesters, child molesters. Are you even capable of staying with her with that conversation, or is the entire topic too distressing to even talk about those kinds of distinctions?
To engage with it. And I appreciate what you're doing. I like your show. That is the thing that makes me uncomfortable. Do you understand where I'm coming from?
I do. If I want the little children in my family to be safe. So my question is, if I listen to a show like this on any radio station, TV station around the world, on YouTube, and I could find information that will help reduce the chances of my child being harmed, I'd want to stay with it. So I'm not even asking your viewpoint, because I agree with you on the ethics around some of the things you've said, not all of it. But it seems to me as if you don't even want to have a conversation that is potentially, in terms of imparting information, very important, particularly from the safety of the child's viewpoint.
Yeah, I get all that. I get it. It's just, as I said, it's a very uncomfortable conversation. This, apart from to you, I'm talking about generally. This is like taboo.com.
Yes.
And I'm glad you opened it up. And it's difficult.
Because for me, the thing, Dr. Eve, is
you just
that
did a magnificent intervention there. as somebody who works with trauma, here you had Mark, he was hyper-aroused in his brain, and you spoke him until he got still, and he listened, and he began rationalizing with himself and with you. Well done, Eusebius.
Thank you, Dr. Eve. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to understand, and I'm compassionate in terms of where he comes from.
Absolutely.
My thing is that we have children in our lives. We want our children's rights to be centered. The child's rights are paramount in family law, and rightly so. Mm-hmm. Pedophiles are not going to be shipped off to Robben Island because our laws don't work that way. So for better or worse, we have got to ask a question that is bounded by the law. Given that pedophiles exist and will exist within our midst, how do we make the world a safer place for our children? And it doesn't seem to me that one convincing answer to that question is to simply run away from the conversation. And it doesn't seem to me that a second convincing response to how to make the world safer for children is to refuse to listen very carefully to the different categories of behavior that pedophilia, as an umbrella term, refer to.
Yeah. I want us to be more scared of child molesters. I don't want us to be scared of pedophiles. Let's stop giving them the bad rep. I want us to be scared of child molesters, and I want you to make sure that your children are not vulnerable.
Mm. Okay, let's take a break there. We've got millions of calls, and then we'll see how many we can squeeze in.
702 and Cape Talk.
Talking Sex.
Okay, so I am delighted at how many of you are calling in who want to discuss this topic with really brilliant, difficult, important questions. And I'm very glad that Dr. Eve has finally done this topic. We might in the future, not now, I think we'll need a bit of distance from today's one, revisit it, because we're not going to get to all of your questions. We only have how many minutes left, Mario? Four at that. So I'm going to randomly take one or two of your questions, and my apologies if we don't get to all of them. Melissa, good morning. Thank you so much for calling in.
Hi.
Hi, Melissa. Yeah, what is your question?
Yes. I just would like to say that I've actually been groomed by a PFR myself, so this is actually like a topic that's actually very nerve-wracking for me. But, because I'm studying psychology, I'm actually in my honours year now, I'd also like to really get to understand it more. So, I was just wondering, do you think that, the paedophiles themselves have, gone through childhood trauma, so they're sort of stuck in that phase, and they've regressed in a way?
Mm. Melissa, no, that isn't what James Kant is finding. He's looking at the brains of paedophiles, and this is the wonderful work that he's produced for us, is that we know that this is a brain phenomenon. This isn't about childhood trauma. This is definitely about the brain. However, your child molesters, that is a lot of childhood trauma. That's, I don't have a number on it, and I'm generalizing enormously, but I would look for childhood trauma there, not with a paedophile. Paedophiles are people who are not by their own choice, have put themselves in a jail, their own internal jail, by the mere fact that they are born with an attraction to children. I just also want to refer people very briefly to a site called Virtuous Paedophiles. They're listening to us as well. This is a site which they say is a safe place. They offer it. They are paedophiles themselves who say that they want people to gather because they are able to maintain and reduce molestations for paedophiles.
Okay, let's squeeze in a final question. I'm going to ask you kindly to keep it short. You've been waiting the longest, Sihle, but please ask it very quickly. We only have a minute left.
Okay. Hi, Eusebius and Dr. Eve. What I'd like to know is, can a child molester defend themselves in court by saying that they have been diagnosed as a paedophile?
Very good question.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very good question.
There would need to be a full-on psychiatric assessment done, and probably a sexologist would have to do an assessment as well to be able to go through the different criteria, because the DSM-5 have got criteria for paedophilia, and they would have to go through it. And in fact, I was just saying to Eusebius now, the DSM-5 very recently has slipped in that paedophilia is now recognized as a sexual orientation. So he would really need to have a very good sexual health expert to be able to defend him in court and say, actually, he's a paedophile and not a child molester, and be able to tell the difference. Because
presumably, but I mean, that's not a legal question. It's not going to stop you from being found guilty and thrown in jail.
Absolutely.
At most, this might be now arguing in mitigation in terms of your level of control you have over your psychological profile that you have, which is why I asked you earlier, and I know we're running out of time, but that's why I'd ask you that question about whether literally on your blog entry and your colleagues as well, and the one from Jacques Rousseau, when we talk about, and this goes to addictions in general and psychological irresistibility, whether it really means I am an automaton or whether I still have personhood.
Yeah. I don't believe that in addiction in any way, but the personhood is definitely for somebody who's a paedophile, knows I'm sexually attracted, and they know it from really young, and they take steps, which is why they come to clinicians, and they say, I'm in trouble, I need some help to contain myself, whereas a child molester doesn't do that.
Dr. Eve, thank you so much for your learnings. You've been very good delineating these different things. And
thank
if people
you.
Want more, they can go to your blog.
DrEve.co.za. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.